Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Neil Coolong, sir, always great to talk with you on a Tuesday.
Definitely. You guys as well. I hope that your day is going as well as mine is.
Good. I hope that means it's going great. So let's get to the hiring of Brian Flores on the staff. What was your thought when you saw that he was going to be on the defensive side of the ball for the Steelers?
The first word in my head, and I remembered this intentionally just for the need to describe it later, was excellent.
Yep.
Brian Flores is a well-respected, well-regarded, and successful defensive coach in the NFL. There are obviously issues that come with that, and you understand that there are a lot of talking points that the media will, have to go over time and time again. But at its root, as far as the team is concerned, they promoted their senior defensive assistant into the defensive coordinator role, and they replaced him by a guy that has an even better track record as far as defensive coaching goes. Brian Flores, we can get into whether or not he got head coaching jobs that he interviewed for, but he absolutely, nobody would dispute that he earned head coaching interviews. There was a reason for that. He is an excellent coach. His players swear by him. He's had a ton of success. He was mentored essentially by a Hall of Fame coach. All of these things are how, on the outside, you would generally define a successful coach in the NFL. For the fact that he did all of that by age 40, it shows he's a riser, and he's got more growth to do. And I think, being able to collaborate with Mike Tomlin, with Terrell Austin, other defensive coaches that they have, everybody is going to improve because of that. And frankly, if we want to be really specific about it, if the lawsuit issue was not a part of it, what we would be saying most of all is the Steelers have probably never needed a strong linebackers coach right now, the way that they do right now in the history of their franchise. Their inside linebackers were terrible last season. There's really no other way to describe that. Their outside linebackers have played really well, but as a defense, they were so bad up the middle. They were historically poor as far as the Steelers go. I mean, you look at the Chargers game, the Vikings game, the Chiefs game. They were moved constantly. They need a change in personnel, and they needed a change of message. And I think Keith Butler retired. I don't think that they fired him or anything. I think he legitimately just was done, wanted to end his career at that point. But the addition of Brian Flores, I think, brings a different message. It doesn't signify a significant strategic change. It's just more, this is a guy who knows how to coach, he knows how to evaluate, he knows how to communicate. Those are the key points to a leadership position within the NFL. You need to be able to do those things in some combination, at least. And he has a track record that shows he's really good at it. So the Steelers got a lot better with that move. And I don't know if they're going to make a move that will be more vital to them in this season and maybe the coming seasons as well than the hiring of Brian Flores in that position.
From 30,000 feet, I was stunned that he was let go by the Dolphins. I didn't think he deserved it at all. Said it the day it happened. The lawsuit is his business. I thought the Steelers hiring, and since he's not a head coach, to me, I thought the hiring was based completely on merit, and the Steelers are better off for having him.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, you look at it just in simple terms. The Steelers weren't looking to hire a head coach.
Right.
That's the crux of the issue. All they did was hire what could be very easily argued the most qualified assistant coach on the market.
Yeah.
I never had the sense that, and a lot of this comes, let's be real, a lot of this comes from the idea that Colin Kaepernick never got back into the NFL. Mm-hmm. And then all of that stuff came down as far as him being blackballed, held out of the NFL. Everybody automatically assumed that was what was going to happen to Brian Flores. To me, it was always like, does Flores want to coach? He's 40 years old. Mm-hmm. It's his lawsuit has nothing to do with him being a position coach.
Right.
And, you know, if you don't get hired for, if you're a coordinator who gets, you know, released from a team, you don't get another coordinator job. Right. Usually they are position coach, or they are a specific element coach, you right. know, not a coordinator. That's the opportunity that Flores had in front of him. I don't see how that changes anything to do with his lawsuit at all. His lawsuit literally is about not being hired as a head coach. He wasn't hired as a head coach.
Right.
That will take care of itself. It's something that's outside of, frankly, let's put it this way, Steve. If you want to break down the NFL into 32 components, which is what it truly is,
right.
I understand that he's suing the league,
mm-hmm.
but the league doesn't hire the head coaches. The individual
right.
teams do.
That's
the
right.
league oversees that, and they are ultimately culpable for it, and we'll figure out how far this case gets. The reality is, if you want to talk about one team in the NFL that is absolutely not a part of all of the stuff
right.
that Brian Flores is talking about,
exactly.
it's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep,
they have not been in the market to hire a head coach. The one time they did, at the beginning of the this is the franchise the rule is named after, essentially,
yep.
at the beginning of that rule, they hired a black head coach. They haven't had to hire a coach since then. If anybody is not subject to what Flores is talking about, the spirit of his lawsuit,
right.
it's the Steelers.
That's right.
So frankly, if there's a team he's going to work for, it'd probably be the Steelers if you
right.
look at it logically. So to me, it has nothing to do with it. And I think Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert said it yesterday too. They're both being truthful and honest. It has nothing to do with that. That's its own thing. The Steelers are the one team that don't have to concern themselves with being a part of that through practice. Or you can't accuse them of anything just because they're an NFL team. It's not the same thing.
Right. Well, they needed a linebacker coach, and they went out and got a really, really good one. Next is the Mason Rudolph story. okay. So is part of the statement about Rudolph, can it possibly be that at the moment he's – the quote most qualified guy on the current roster?
Yes, but he's the only guy on the roster. So I think that plays a big part.
Okay.
In it.
So that makes him the least qualified as well?
Exactly. He's the best and the worst option at the same time. And to be honest with you, it might be true when you bring in two other quarterbacks.
Yeah, right.
It's look, what you see is what you get with Mason Rudolph. I don't think you can put a lipstick yeah. on a pig and call it something else.
I know.
In my opinion, he is a below average quarterback. He's not an NFL starter. I think the Steelers are aware of that to the extent that they didn't foresee the market being right to get a better quarterback this year. I know that seems weird, but sometimes you have to kind of look at the bigger picture. They have other moves that they need to make. Maybe it was something what they're saying by giving Rudolph a one-year extension last year. The idea was, keep in mind, it was right before the draft. We spoke about this last year. The timing of that is really, really interesting because the Steelers don't do that. What they're saying, in my opinion, is we have completed our absolute total draft breakdown of everything we're going to see this year, and we are not going to take a quarterback. We don't want to be hung in the lurch next year without a quarterback.
Right.
So let's give Rudolph a really low deal, give him some money now so he'll sign it, and then we have a quarterback for next year, and we'll figure out that part of it next year. You know, full out assault on scouting every quarterback in the country, which is what they did.
Right.
If you look at it, you heard one of them at basically every game where a named quarterback was playing this year. They watched, they evaluated. If they still see that any one of those quarterbacks is not worth any of their draft picks, you kind of have your answer. But I have a real tough time believing, because they're not going to sign Rudolph to another one-year extension in April again. I think that what it really suggests is that they're open to the idea of a quarterback, but at the same time, I do believe Kevin Colbert when he says, essentially, he's good at kind of dancing around what he really wants to say about something. I think if you read between the lines, what they're saying is, let's see what happens when we're on the clock at 20. We're not going to trade up.
Right.
Because, frankly, they have way too many holes. they don't have the assets to give. I mean, I might argue something different to that, but what they're saying is a rookie now is not helping us now or maybe not even next year with what we see right now. So drafting a project quarterback, giving up extra assets to do that, solves a problem that we can solve next year through similar means at a lot less of a cost. So I think that's probably more a Steelers mentality. It isn't to say that if Malik Willis somehow fell to 20, they wouldn't be really tempted to take him. He's an excellent prospect. It'd be great value at that spot. It's also why I think he's probably going to go in the top 10. And that's probably too far up for the Steelers to jump, knowing the constraints they have on their roster. They have a lot of holes they have to fill. They have starters that they need. But I'll say this. Quarterback aside, they're not going to go out and sign a quarterback in free agency. They're not going to trade for a veteran quarterback. What they do in free agency with the money that they have is going to indicate more of what their potential strategy could be in the draft, because they have far more cap space than they usually have without having made any moves yet. They haven't done anything. They haven't restructured anybody's contract. They haven't signed any restricted free agents. They haven't done anything yet. They have more cap space sitting where they are today than they've ever had, literally have ever had.
Right.
They're going to sign starters. This is a team that spends within roughly 5% of the cap every year. They're going to bring in starters. That cuts down potential needs in the draft a pretty good amount. That's why they need to go sign them. If they address, say, three or four positions that they need legit starters or key backups at, that opens things up to the draft a little bit more. You know, maybe they get a little bit more aggressive. Maybe they're looking a little bit more long-term. We'll see. Come mid-March, I think we'll have a much better idea of what they're probably looking to do in the draft.
Two of them have to be offensive line stars. You've got to give Najee Harris a chance to then allow Mason Rudolph to have a chance.
Yeah, I would agree with that. At the very least, I would say one of them for sure. I'm not hearing this. I'm not reporting it. I think the combination of skill and ability, of status and of team need, Brandon Scherff is a pretty solid guy for the Steelers to be looking at right now.
He sure is.
And he's a top of market guard.
Yeah, no doubt.
It'll be the biggest contract they've ever given to an offensive lineman. That's what it's going to take for them to get him. But they need a right guard. They don't have a right guard right now. They're not going to bring Trey Turner back again. My opinion, a large part of the issues that you had at center was a lack of cohesion as well as a lack of NFL experience coming from your right guard and your left guard to your center.
Right.
And I think the left guard kicked over to the left tackle as well. They drug each other down.
Yep.
Those are issues that are going to improve the more time that they get. And it was largely unavoidable. Dan Moore was not starting at left tackle by choice. It was an injury situation that they clearly did not want to have. Otherwise, they wouldn't have given Zach Banner an extension. It's not the lineup that they wanted to have, but it's a lineup that they had to use. You need a veteran to come in to help bolster your center, and you need that veteran to be a guy that has more than 1 year in his contract. They cannot draft a right guard to start this year. That's not going to help them, in my opinion. You have the money to spend. They owe it to the team to bring in a high-level guy. I think that's sure. I think he's a player that fits in well with what I would think they'd want to do, which is probably more of their gap and inside zone schemes, which they've done with lesser experienced players. You could probably see them doing that same thing again. But for me, I think they're going to sign a big-ticket free agent, and I think they're going to bring in probably two or three other key players, if not starters, along with that to try to bolster what's a very thin roster right now.
After all these years of Ben, then of course Terry Bradshaw long before that. It's not like the Steelers haven't gone through the Bubby Brister, Tommy Maddox, Neil O'Donnell, that period of time. How anxious do you think the Steeler fan base is to attach itself to a new name at quarterback?
Oh God, it's through the roof. I mean, it's all you hear. I mean, Ben's going to be this team's starting quarterback for what we're looking at right now, the next 5 to 7 years, whether he's on the roster or not.
Right.
The guy that you have, one, for the faction of people that are saying, give Rudolph a chance, he started 10 games. Well, if they don't know who Mason Rudolph is by now, there's something really wrong.
No, he's had a chance.
He's had a chance. You know who he is. Yeah. He's not going to make some radical leap now that he's the starter all of a sudden. You know who he is. He's going to have games like he did against the Lions, which wasn't particularly good. Games like he had week 17
against the 2020 season against the Browns
where he was okay.
Yep.
Up and down, that's who he's going to be. He's not going to be a high level guy. The ceiling on him is probably if things really line up, a 90 rated passer. He's going to turn the ball over. He's going to make plays deeper down the field than what Ben did the last 2 years. You don't have a good quarterback on this team. It's that simple. They're going to do what they can with him, but they absolutely do not have an answer right now for 2023. And if, despite that, if Mason Rudolph gets an extension, the fan base is not going to be happy about that. It's hard to envision a scenario in which that would happen anyway. So if they're not thinking they're going to draft one, and even if they do, they're taking a quarterback at 20 overall, which is not a great spot nowadays to take a quarterback.
No.
They're not anywhere, in my opinion, close to the proverbial franchise quarterback. And that said, I don't think it's likely that they take one at 20 anymore. You know, just the way that they've talked about it, they really seem intent on addressing other positions and looking at the quarterback next year. So I think at the very least, you're talking about a low-rated quarterback in a not good quarterback draft at a low spot in round one, or a complete and total project in round two, or I don't even know what else beyond round two this year. There's going to be some not good players. If there's a quarterback drafted after round five, we wouldn't have heard from him anyway. We wouldn't have any idea who he is. They're not going to find their future quarterback, in my opinion, in this offseason. It probably won't be a year from now until they do.
Well, fortunately for the Steelers, it's not a quarterback-centric league, so they'll be fine. All right, so, Neil, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.